Okay, thank you everybody. Thank you for your patience. Sorry about that. We had some technical issues getting in, but it's a real pleasure to have Rabbi Akoka with us. We've had him many times and always intriguing teshuvot and issues that we discuss. And Rabbi, I don't want to take any more time, so bechavod, whenever you want to start.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Appreciate it. First of all, I would like to dedicate this class, this shiur, in memory of my mother, Aleha Shalom. Today happens to be her Nachala, her Yartziat. And I would like just to start with words from Rav Soloveitchik when his mother passed away in 1978, from his eulogy, and I'll quote what he says, and really. Every time I read those words, it really touches me. And this is what my mother as well was. So he says he wrote the following: "Most of all, I learned that Judaism expresses itself not only in formal compliance with the law, but also in a living experience. My mother taught me that there is a flavor, a scent, and warmth to mitzvot. I learned from her the most important thing in life: to feel the presence of the Almighty and the gentle pressure of His hand resting upon my frail shoulders." So certainly I think that I know that my mom was the same. She instilled in me the love of Yahadut, of Judaism, the love of mitzvot, and emunah. She had emunah pshuta, really simple type of emunah. I remember my grandmother, Aleha Shalom, very, very often I think about that as a child. Something that my mother used to do as well, every morning going to the mezuzah and praying in her own language, it bodied with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in a very simple way. It's something that my mom also did. And it's something that, we go formally to the Beit Knesset and we pray, but there's an informal way to be with the Kadosh Baruch Hu as someone who you talk to and you are mitpoded with. So, as Hashem, she prayed for all of us and all of Am Yisrael as she did when she was alive. So, what I would like to do today is speak about an interesting subject, which is the Machine Matzah controversy. I'll be honest, when I first gave this shiur many years ago, before I share any sources, I thought that this controversy happened in the Ashkenazi world. And it did, by the way, it did happen there. But I didn't know at that time that it happened also in the Sephardic world. And there was a controversy about when technology evolved and they started to produce machine matzah, that there was a big, big controversy in the Sephardic world as well. Eventually, I found out a colleague of mine shared with me some sources. And this is what I would like to do with you today, to share. And to be able to discuss it. So let's see if I could share it with you. Give me a moment. Let's see. Here it is. Okay, very good. So I would like just to go through a little introduction. First of all, we know that we have to eat matzah. The Torah says, and you have it before you. It says in the book of Shemot, Perek Yud Bet. Pasuk tedvav, shivat yamim matzot tochelu, 7 days you should eat matzah. Ach b'yom harishon tashbitu tzor mibatechem, on the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. Ha'kichol ochel chametz v'nichreta ha'nefesh mi'Yisrael miyom rishon ad yom shivi'i. Whoever eats chametz, there is a isur karet, and it's from the first to the seventh, seventh day. So dating back to Moshe Rabbeinu, the practice had always been to make matzah out of, a hand matzah. And eventually, with the advent of the Industrial Revolution, the first of the 19th century, things changed. And the first machine matzah was made, was invented in France in 1838, and it was in Alsace. And this machine, by the way, at that time was not controversial at all and was accepted by many Ashkenazi Rabbanim of that era. So I would like just to, first of all, for a few minutes, focus on what happened in the Ashkenazi world and eventually take it into the Sephardic world. So eventually this matzah or this machine became popular. And there was a controversy that broke out over the kosher status of machine matzah. The controversy erupted in 1859 when Rav Shlomo Kluger of Brody, 1785, 1869, came in the opposition of the machine matzah. And some rabbis even contended that this machine matzah, by the way, any matzah that came out of this machine was chametz. Great rabbis of that era opposed this machine matzah. There was Rav Yitzchak Meir Alter of Gur, the Ger Rebbe, as well as Rav Chaim Halberstam of Tzanz, and other Hasidic rabbis, particularly it was in Galicia. And as well, it was in Western Europe, and some rabbis in Western Europe, in France included, by the way, said that this matzah was and there was Rav Nathan Zon, he was the one who led everything. Rav Pressburg and Rav Yaakov Ettinger of Altona. Anyways, Becholoven, this machloket took place. It was a pretty heated machloket. And the opposition that the Ashkenazi rabbis had was that it's impossible to clean the matzah properly from chametz. Don't forget, it was not the machine matzah that we have today. Today it's a different story, but at that time it was an archaic type of machine, I would say. So it was impossible. I mean, between one batch and another one, forget it. It's going to be a problem. Many poor families also very important, and this is where we see a social justice, right? Many important poor families are dependent on the matzah bakery to work there, and they're going to lose their jobs. Innovation, another interesting thing that happened, especially in the Ashkenazi world, Hadash Asur Min HaTorah. You're not allowed to go into the new world. That's it. You know what? We have to get into what we had in the back in the day, which is hand matzah, and that's it. And there's no proper intention where the matzah is produced by the machine as well. Are you going to say Leshem Mitzvat Matzah? You cannot do it, okay? Because the machine is doing it, not you, and therefore they were against it. The ones who defended it were, they said that the machine is easier to clean than the equipment used for the hand matzah. The production by machine will reduce the price of matzah and will help the poor people. It's going to be less expensive to buy matzah. By the way, the joke is they say lechem oni, that the matzah is called lechem oni, the poor person. Bread, because after you buy it, you become poor. We know how much whether machine matzah or hand matzah costs a lot of money. There's nothing wrong with innovation as long as halacha is kept. Okay. And besides that, another question that they had, the machine matzah is a tool exactly like the rolling pin is, and there's no problem. And as far as not having the kavanah, they said that the fact is that when say with him, as it was everything was done manually, and he should say that I'm doing it, and he should straight out, I'm doing it l'shem mitzvat matzah, and shouldn't be any issues. I would like just to share with you some of the words that the Chachamim, the Ashkenazi Chachamim, spoke, the ones against and for. Rav Shlomo Kluger, for example, says, "Ve'en lilmod min ha'Ashkenazim." We cannot learn from the Ashkenazim, the ones who permitted mikama te'amim. Al teshanu minhag avotechem. Don't change from your minhag. Keep it. You should have hand matzah and not machine matzah. Ashkenazim yasu ma shelibam chafetz kedarkam. The Ashkenazim, the ones from France who were permitted, and the other ones who permitted could do whatever they want. Anachnu lech birkvot avotenu mehem lo nazuz yamin u'smol. And we will go. We will follow our chachamim. And we will not change, and we'll have hand matzah. As well, Rav Zev Ettinger was very, very strong about that. Ke esh tukat bikirbi uvlivi atzura biroti ki pashta mispachat. It says that this is a mispachat. What is a mispachat? A sickness. It says to have machine matzah, you want to be sick, go and produce machine matzah. We are not going to be sick. We're not going to into that disease. This is a disease, and we will stick into what our ancestors did, which is to have matzah that is made by hand. I'm going to skip. If we have time, we'll go back. But on the other hand, Rabbi Avraham Yana, one of the Metirim, the one who permitted the machine Matzav, simply said, Lu yadanu ge'o, lu yad'u ge'one zmanenu. If the Geonim of my time, the great Chachamim of my time, ma'amicholot harabot be'asiyat ha'matzot po'irenu, ve'ra'u asiyat ha'matzot ala mashina, kva gazru gam hem la'asot matzot rak be'mashina. He says, actually, the other way, doing it by hand is a problem. If the, you would know how many takalot, how many issues there is with the everyone would agree that the machine matzah is better. So this was their position. Now, what happened was, in the Sephardic world, this machloket took place as well, a little bit later on, as we're going to see. So there was a great chacham, Tamid chacham Atsum, really a huge Tamid chacham from Oran, Algeria. His name was Rav Yosef Hayim Maman. And he was the chief rabbi there, and he noticed that people were using this cylinder milling device that worked on the basis of steam. Okay, now we should keep that in mind. It was working on basis of steam to produce this machine matzah, and Rav Maman at that time ruled it was forbidden. In 1912, Rav Maman got a letter signed by many rabbanim. I have the letter. I'm going to share. It's here on what I shared with you. We'll try to go through it, forbidding the machine matzah. Among them, by the way, the Rishon Litzion at that time, the Bedin of Fez, the Bedin of Meknes, the Bedin of Mogador, the Bedin of Marrakesh, Rabbi David Avehsera, the brother of Rabbi the Baba Sali, who was unfortunately murdered in 1917, Rabbi Rafael Enkawa, eventually be the chief rabbi of Morocco. And all of them, by the way, I have today, the Ashkenazim would call it Pakshevil. It was a Pakshevil Mamash, a letter that you sometimes have deal. You see in Yerushalayim where you see, Ze'aka Gdola Umara. This is was a Mamash, a big letter, saying that the machine matzah is asur. Okay. And there was also a book that was written by Rabbi Rav Rafael Moshe Hayim Ben Naim. He was the chief rabbi of Gibraltar. Okay. And it's called Kol Tehina, Kol Tehina. He worked with words. Tehina with a taf means, you know, like screaming out, imploring HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Tehina is to grind. Basically, I am imploring you not to use this machine to grind your matzot and to make it with this machine, proving it was prohibited. But there was another rabbi in Tunisia by the name of Rabbi Eliyahu Ben Gigi. Okay, Rabbi Eliyahu Ben Gigi, he wrote a book called Kol Tza'akat Ro'im. Okay, Kol Tehina, he also used Kol, a voice, but Kol Tza'akat Ro'im. Basically proving that it's 100% okay to use the machine. By the way, it's 521 pages that he wrote about that, and he got, by the way, also Hachamim to support his psak halacha. And by the way, all these two books, you could find them. Baruch Hashem, with technology, you have Hebrew books. In Hebrew books, you go to HebrewBooks.org, and you'll find type kol tehina, both of these sfarim, and kol tzaakat roim. You'll find them there, and if you could make copies or look online. Now, I would say that the main issue that they had between them was that there was a lot of steam coming out from this machine. Now, steam is, you know, it comes from water. Now, water, if we take water and we mix it with flour, it becomes hametz. Okay. And by the way, this applies also to other parts of the Shulchan Aruch. So, I'll give you one example. Shulchan Aruch in Yoreh De'ah, Siman Tzadik Bet, Seif Het, says, Mahvat shel halaf shenatnu bekira, tahat kedera shel basar. If you take a pan, a milk pan, okay, and you put it on the to heat, and it's under kedera shel basar, a meat pot, hazia ola venivla bekedera veosarta. Then what's going to happen? The steam eventually is going to go up. And when it's going to go up, it's going to make the meat part forbidden. So therefore, here it is, where you see clearly name is Asur. So that was one of the re'ayot, one of the reasons or one of the proofs to show that the steam type of machine will make this will make the wheat chametz. However, there's another Shulchan Aruch, and Shulchan Aruch in Chot Pesach says the following. He says it is, as you could see in Siman Taf Nun Vav in Orach Hayim, Seif Gimel. He says the following. Sak male kemach shenitlahlah mize'at ha'choma mutar ve'yesh osrim. So that's an important halacha. So you have a bag, okay, that is filled with flour. Shenitlahlah, it got a little wet. It got wet. Mize'at ha'choma, from steam that is coming indirectly from choma. What is a choma? You have a wall. From that wall, there's steam, and the steam eventually goes into that flour. Is it mutar or asu? Shanukh gives us, he doesn't give us an easy life. Mutar. Says mutar. Yesh osrim. Some forbid it. Now, there's different klalim in the Shulchan Aruch. There are different rules in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay? Regarding that, when he says mutar, v'yesh osrim, that's different Kabbalot, but our Kabbalah is it's mutar. And therefore, Rav Eliyahu ben Gigi proves from this Shulchan Aruch that if machine matzah is okay, and why? Because the water is traveling through a wall to get to the kernels. And therefore, since it's not direct, and baya, what is the problem? It's 100% okay. And he goes on, and he writes that Rav Yosef Hayim Maman, I don't understand him. Why does he get you out of it? The Shulchan Aruch says clearly it's mutar. So what is going on? Why? He has pretty strong language, basically saying that Rav Maman should say it mutar. However, Rav Yosef Hayim Maman writes that even though the Shulchan Aruch permits it, many forbid it, and since Hametz is a biblical prohibition, you should be stringent about it. Don't take any risks. And he brings some of the poskim, among them, by the way, the Hidah, the Birkei Yosef, who says it should be, he should be asu. Okay? So this basically sums up the two opinions. And I would like to share with you now, first of all, I'll share with you Hoda'ah, here it is. You have it before you. Okay, I got a copy of it. And I'll try to go through it. Basically, this was written by Rav Maman, who forbade it. Okay, and I'll try to go through it and share with you what he says. And then, Be'ezrat Hashem, I'll go through a fascinating tshuva of Rav Yosef Mesas, Tzadik Livracha, who permits it. So he says the following. Anachnu bedina rabba de'ovi oran. So Rav Maman, as we said, he was in Oran, Algeria. And he says the following. Shahar hakira ve'adrisha. After we looked through and investigated this machine, Karaui, and we did it well. We asked the good questions to ask about this machine. So the cylinder type of machine. And the way it works, very buya cylindrim and all types of these cylinder machines, the agulim, the anapot, the shayachim lahem, everything that is involved on that machine, in that machine, the alpi kabbalah, the kabbalot, edut, mi ba'alei arehayim, aniskarim, ma she'eni badak. So he says, according to what the testimony of the people who have those machines, and whatever I saw myself, ahotem rishon, okay? Rav Chaim Yosef Maman. So he says the following, and I'll continue on. Shana achar shana bitlata v'chazaka v'yeda b'tiv ha'ra'ayim ha'nizkarim nochachnu ladat ki asur midina. He says, it is forbidden. Litchon bahem, to grind in them, chite de pisha, the chitim, the kernels that you're going to use for Pesach. Afilu im yure ayman iskarim hadashim. By the way, he says, even if they are new, if they are new, you say she'ahyanu if you want, start to do it for Pesach. Assume. Asur litchon bahem. Iba et emakera, iba et emasvara. He says, whether it is, I'm going to prove it to you from a pasuk, or I'm going to prove it for you from logic. And he continues on. He says, mipis forim, mipis farim, rishonim va'aronim, ve'erich irchiv ma'anito berocham v'vinato. And he goes on, and he says, and these are the haskamot, and these are the rabbanim, who are agreeing with me that it's asur. So he goes and he says, "Ma'alat ha-rabbanim ha-gedolim geone eretz bedina ir ha-kodesh Yerushalayim." He got the rabbanim of Yerushalayim le'adat ke'al kodesh ha-sfaradim, the Sfaradic rabbanim of Yerushalayim. And who was it? The Rishon Letzion, Hacham Bashi. Ma'alat ha-rabbanim ha-gedolim ha-ashkenazim le'adat Yerushalayim. He got also the Ashkenazi rabbanim of Yerushalayim also to agree with him. Then, you had, besides the Hasidim, they had the Perushim of Yerushalayim. Besides that, as well, the Rabbanim of Hebron, the Rabbanim of Dina Rabba Tzfat, then Tetuan, Morocco, okay? And who was the Rabbi at that time? Rabbi Yonah Nahon. And then, you had Ma'alat Arava Gadol, Gibraltar, okay? Ma'alat Rav Gadol also, Mordechai Benjo from Tangier. Then he had Rabbi Rafael Ibn Tzur, Rabbi Shlomo Ibn Danan, all the great Hachamim Gdolim, all of them Asru. Then he got, as I told you, I see it here, Rabbi David Abichzera. Rabbi David Abichzera at that time was young, but already, look at how they describe Ma'alat Harav Mekubal Ha'Eloi Hasida Kadisha Uf. Great names that usually Hachamim get. He was still young, but he was already known to be a Hasid Gadol, a great pious rabbi. He got also Aram Tzoba. He went, don't forget, it's not, here we are. I'm talking, and you have some people from, I don't know, England and from all over the world. We're talking about the time that, you know, getting letters, snail mail, it was really snail mail. And he got Hachamim from all over. Aram Tzoba. He got even the Hachamim of Aleppo. Could you imagine? All over the world. He went, Mamash, it was something that it was dear to him, and he wanted to prove his point. So he went all over. Rolof, and he continues on, and then I'll continue and I'll read you a few other lines that he says. And he says, he says, the only thing that we accept is Rehaim Shel Even, the old type of Rehaim of machine, like the Minhag of our ancestors, Hagdoshim Asher Ba'aretzema, Bekashrut, Vizrizut, Unkiyut Gdola. He says, this is the best, this is the only way of doing it because it's done properly and we clean the machine properly. Uchmo, Ken, Ofim, Hamatzot, Po, Hamaspik, Vestashem, Lechol Shoel, Henle Mitzhal, and Baale Batim. And this is what's done here. Again, it was in Algeria at that time. They did it for their own usage and also Le Mitzhal to sell. ובכן, כל הרוצה לקנות קמח כשר מן מצות אפויות לפסח, יפנה אל סוחרי עירנו הידועים פה אורן, וימצא מבוקשו על צד הטוב ביותר. It says, basically, this is what you have to do. And, by the way, he emphasizes, if you want to have kosher מצות for פסח, this is what you should do. Implying that if you don't do that, you're not eating anything that is כשר לפסח. So it's pretty strong, okay? And then he continues on, he says, and whoever is going to follow us is going to be any issues with the matzot. This kule shanim rabot, as we say, he finishes off with a nice bracha. Ufshirim tahogu et hagam batzot, and he wishes everyone to celebrate Hagamatzot with songs as we enter the Hag. Atem uvnechem v'chol asher ba'olechem, you and your children, whoever is among you, you should have a Hag, Hag Pesach Sameach. And this is the way he finishes, and he recites his name, Hayim Yosef Maman, Dayan Umore Tzedek, V'rosh Av Bedin, V'ovi Oran. Okay, so this is how he finishes his teshuva. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosef Misas was asked about that as well. And he gave a different answer. He permitted it. And we'll see why. We'll see why.
Is this exactly the same machine? Exactly the same type
exactly
of machine?
Exactly the same machine. Very good question. Same machine. So he says, שאלה, שאלת ידידי אודות הרי חיים הסילנדרי, עשה בחודש שעבר, אשר בחודש שעבר, סליחה, באו לידי כבודו ספרי צדיקים. So there was a רבי חיים דוד הלוי.
Could you scroll down? Are you able to scroll down?
Here is what I'll do. What I'll do is,
if you have it.
Here it is. I'm going to show it to you here. It's found in Hebrew books as well, the Mayim Hayim. The famous Shalot Shuvot of Rabbi Yosef Misas in Chelek Aleph, and it's Siman Kuf Samech. Hopefully, it's going to show. Here it is. Very good. Here it is. Shuvot Hashayachim lePesach Tehina baAlisandri. Okay, here it is. So he says the following. He Rabbi Chaim HaLevi asked him the question, and he says, he quotes two Sfarim, one of them, Pikesh Shelomo, Rabbi Shelomo Ibn Danan. He had a Psak Halacha forbidding it. And also, To'afot Re'em of Rabbi Rafael and Kawa, Chief Rabbi of Morocco, also forbidding it. So, Bikashta Rehodi Acha, Im Divrehem, so he wanted the Haskama, he wanted based not the Haskama, he wanted the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Misas. And he goes through the Teshuva. And here it is. If you want to follow Teshuva, it starts on the left column. And he says, I have it here in front of me, Teshuva. Davar ze nishtabru alav kama kurmusi. He says, this question that you asked, and we have to understand Rabbi Yosef Misas was extremely, extremely poetic. So the way he writes, he says, many, many pens were broken on it, which means that people use their kulmus, they use their pens, and through using it, they wrote so much about it that probably this pen was of no usage anymore. They had to use a new one. Okay, merabbanan ba'alei terisim, v'nishpechu alav kama diyot. And a lot of ink was spilled on this question. V'nirhamu alav b'heref ipiyot. Again, beautiful language. Nirhamu, there was a mirhama beheret pipiot. Okay, the hachamim were nilham. They were fighting in each other. Vinithabru alav kama sefarim, and many numerous sefarim were or tshuvot were written on it. Asher tshuvot and sefarim as well. Asher ba'em atzurim ve'agudim kol ha'tlaot asher. תרגו על עלינו על צוואר הרחיים הנזכר, והרי לך במתנה ספר כל צעקת רועים. He quotes, also he says, he speaks about כל צעקת רועים being בן גיגי, okay, on the one hand, and אשר העריך ירחיב דברי רבו הרב הגאון המפורסם, הרב חיים בליך. Now, הרב בן גיגי, he quotes also in his book, רבי חיים בליך, was the chief rabbi of Tlemcen, okay? Tlemcen, okay? And Rav Leich was a big time Chacham. He permitted it. He permitted it. So Rav Ben Gigi follows his rabbi and permits it. And he says the following, continues on. Veda Yedidi, ki midivrei ha-gaon, by the way, another important point is, as he's answering, look how he puts at comfort the one who's asking. Veda yedidi, you should know, my friend. Okay, v'rechachamim benachat nishmaim. The Chacham speaks; he speaks benachat, Not speaking, screaming out, no, Benaha. So he says, Midivre HaGaon, Rabbi Shlomo ben Danan. So Rabbi Shlomo ben Danan, who forbade it, Surah Kadosh Nizkar, Mashma Pashut, Shele'el Katav Psak Din Nizkar, Lo Igiu Le'ado Divrei Rav Chaim Bleich. He says one thing, Rabbi Shlomo ben Danan did not know about Rav Chaim Bleich, the Psak that he gave, which was permitting it. Rak Divrei HaGaon, Rav Maman. Right? The only thing that he got was Rabbi Yosef Chaim Maman. That's the only thing that he got. Sha'ahaz b'dinah kasha, who was very, very stern about it, forbidding it. Lehefech sidro shel olam ha'aljir v'tunisim v'aglilot. And by the way, he says, the psak of Rav Maman is contrary to what the world has been doing, the Jewish world was doing in Algeria and Tunisia. Asher nagu b'heter mishanim kadmoniot. He says, the machine matzav was used already, mishanim kadmoniot. Many years we have used it already. Gamlo kara b'shem mihu hamatir. Besides that, he says he didn't really look into who was permitting it. V'lachen gam ha'gaon, harav. Besides that, he even didn't know who was this man, Harav Bleich. V'chashav alav kirag b'shem tzurba merabbanan, ka'atzurba merabbanan, hevleshav d'shchichei ha'idna. He says then when he heard about Rav Bleich, he didn't know the greatness of Rav Bleich. He thought that he was Rav Mesas, by the way, when he says that, he says, like the Talmidei Chachamim of our time that are not really Talmidei Chachamim. This is the way he says. He didn't know that he was really a big Talmid Chacham. If he would know, he wouldn't have reacted that way. Upashut ki'ilu yada et shemo. He says, he knew his name, but not more than that. He says, if you would know the greatness of this Talmid Chacham, Rav Bleich, Rav Chaim Bleich, he would not have written this psak forbidden the machine matzah. That's one thing he says. Ve'af, he says, Shehen emet, tircha ve'otza'a be'echsher harechayim. Says, really, it is difficult, at that time at least, not today, today it's a different story again. But at that time, it was tircha ve'otza'a be'echsher harechayim haniskarot. It takes time to make this machine kosher every time, okay? The fact is, they make it kasher. Kasher amar, aha, b'shal atzmotav, ala ha'chaim, hem rotzim harbe b'nikaron da ha'chaim etev, ve'av b'lo t'chinat chitei d'pischa, hem menakim otam mizman lezman nikayon gamur. The fact is, he says, even if used before Pesach, they clean it very well. Me'akema hanidbak ba'em mibayit u'bachutz, because of all of the kemah, all of the flour and the dough that is sticking to them inside and out, ומתאפש ברוב הימים, ומשחית ומרקל הריחיים, וכל כליה והקמח הנחם בהם, והמסידים בזה מסחרם. The fact is, he says, also, what do? They clean these machines. And why? Because if not, the machine is going to ruin. And they don't want to ruin their machines. They want to have a machine for, in order to have, to be able to grind the wheat. ולכן בהגיע חג האביב, שבו טוחנים חיטים דה פסחה, so when and we need it for Pesach, הם מרבים לנקות ככל אשר תמצא ידם, they make sure that they clean it properly. ושוב פותחים מכונה אחת המנשבת רוח שערה, הנכנסת תוך האיברים הפנימיים של הנחיים. Besides that, what did they do? They have this machine that they put. It was like, he says, Ruach Se'ara, basically a machine that does a lot of wind, okay? And basically, what does it do? It cleans, it was like a type of fan, that, and this fan cleans properly everything that is in that machine, okay? After they clean it with their hands. ולפי שאי אפשר לומר ונקה לגמרי, לכן אחר גמר ההכשר, besides that, if you'll tell me that they don't clean it properly after it's not clean 100%, what did they do? מוסיפים עוד לטחון ב-20 שקים או יותר מחיטי דפסחה, ומוכרים קמחה ממקמח של חמץ. What did they do? They grind around 20 bags of wheat with it, they put it aside, they sell it מכירת חמץ, and then after Pesach, what do? They get it back and they sell it as chametz. So after they grind these 20 bags of wheat, then they start to grind it for Pesach. After 20, tw they went through 20 bags of wheat, for sure it's clean and there's no problem with it. Okay? ואף אם יישאר דבוק בפנימיותי איזה דבר, הוא תלוי בספק אם ייפול תוך קמחה לפסחה, ואם ייפול הוא דבר מועד שמתבטל ב-60 בשל פסח, קודם הפסח. And he says, then even if you claim that there's something that is left there, you know what I'm going to tell you? It's batel b'shishim. They do it before Pesach. And as we know, the halakha is, at least for the Sfaradim, that no chozer v'ni'or, something that you have before Pesach, even if there's hametz, if there's 60 times more, batel b'shishim. Claim that there is something there that is hametz. We do it before Pesach. No problem at all. Okay. By the way, if Rabbi Yosef Mises would be alive today, probably they would give him haramot, pasul. I don't know what to do to him. He was tamid hacham, anak sheba anakim, with tamid hacham. And he was baal sechir yashar. He was common. He had common sense. He worked with common sense. But there'll be shishim, shalom al Israel. That's it. Don't do it on Pesach. Do it before Pesach. All of it. Anyways, he continues on. And he says, Harei chadidi, Seder ha'ekshev shenohagim bo ad achshav. He says, this is the way that we do it till now. Bechol mekomot memshalto shel ha'rechaim, wherever there is this machine, this is what we do. Ubetach ki lo ishtane le'olamim, and nothing is going to change. Ki hu davar mukhrach etzel ba'alei ha'rechaim le'to'elet atzmam. This is something that the owners of the rechaim of this machine will do for themselves. Okay? Mezuraf im emat isur hametz hamuteret al kol ish yehudi. Besides that, those people are Jews. The Baalei Rehaim. You think that they are going to mess with hametz? They're not going to mess with hametz. Those people are Yirei Shamayim. They are going to take it seriously and do the right thing to make sure that they're going to give matzot that are kasher lePesach that are done through this machine. And he says, "Ve'im tomar ma lan ulikanes be'tirhayav svekot alu." And if you ask the question, why should we have doubts? Batel b'shishim, not batel b'shishim. Is it okay? Is it not okay? And he says, "Halo rak nitchan rak berechaim shel even." The best thing is to go and to do it like the olden days, not a machine, but do it by hand. Kimin hag avotenu, like our forefathers did. Moshe katav agon. Rabbi Rafael Enkau wrote in his book that he quotes. He says you cannot say that. And why? Hatshuva al zei peshuta lechol mevin viyodea amavot aedu ki bechol are Europa veare Algeria. He says you cannot. You know why? Because in Europe and in Algeria, shum min rehayim. You cannot find the old type of machine. Rak shel Alessandri dafka. The only thing is, you have this cylinder machine. That is it. Ki biigalot kevod Alessandri aladmat Algeria. Because when the cylinder machine came to Algeria, zeke shivaim shana, it's already 70 years. Ra'ashu venehersu mipanav kol minere haim akadumim. All of the other types of machines were destroyed, were put aside. We don't find them anymore. Okay? Veshen ira le'are ha'ma'arav. He says also in Morocco. שרק זה 20 שנה שבאו בהם הצרפתים, that the French people came at that time, it was already 20 years that they came to Morocco, והעמידו צלם האליסנדרי בהיכלם. And what did they bring with them? This machine, they brought it with them. בטלו מפניהם קרוב ל-90 ל-100 מכל מיני הרעים הקדמונים. He says, around 100 old machines were put aside, destroyed, not usable anymore. And therefore, he says, Zulati is anshe ma'ase mete me'at v'na'ar ichtev. He says, maybe there's a few who still use the old machine, but bottom line, hem shochim t'chad raim shel even v'shel maim, ashen nisho lahem lepleta, v'gam hem ketom otam arehaim ba'agala, yochlu anavim v'izbau me'alisandrim mishamno. He says, and eventually, those machines will not be usable anymore, and everyone is going to be using this cylinder type of machine to prepare for Pesach, the matzot for Pesach. So here is Rabbi Yosef Mesas on the other hand, who basically he saw, he was the Rav Rashi, and he saw that the machine these machines were used at that time. And his psak halacha is very clear. He says that it is 100% mutar. It's mamash very, very fascinating to see the two sides of this psak halacha. Rav Maman on the one hand, Yosef Mesas and others, each one basically proving his point, le'esor or le'hatir, to make it mutar or asur. Anyways, so today, by the way, things are different. Obviously, the machine and each one has his own choice to make, whether to use hand or machine. But there is enough kamina, interestingly, today, this idea of we spoke about the steam, could be something that is practical today. And I'll share with you what. Now, when it comes to Mechirat Hametz, some have the custom, Bichlal, not to sell Hametz at all. That was actually the original custom of many Sephardic countries, not to sell Hametz at all. Okay. However, eventually what happened is the Chachamim saw that people are leaving Hametz, and therefore they started to do Mechirat Hametz. They started to do the Mechirat Hametz that we have today. Eventually, was accepted in the Sephardic countries. But even today, when we sell the Hametz, some don't want to sell Hametz Gamur, complete Hametz. They will say something. They will say sell. They won't have anything that is Hametz Gamur. They won't have pasta in their home. They won't have anything that is mamash 100% Hametz. Okay, so they'll do a Mechira, but not for Hametz Gamur. Therefore, the fact is, there are certain grains today that are tempered, okay? And there are some that are steamed even. And this is what we could, I mean, the next few minutes we'll discuss it. So the Shulchan Aruch says the following. He says, in Orach Hayim, Siman Taf Uv Gimel Seif Asur Liltot Ben Hitim Ben Seorim. Nowadays it's forbidden to put water on wheat. Why? Because that could become eventually Hametz. It could become Hametz. There's all machlok about that. We'll see the Kafa Hayim, what he says about that. If it's certainly if it's cracked, for sure it's Hametz. Other than that, safik. The Kaf Haim says clearly the following. He says, "Ben hitim ben seorim, mikol makom lo asru ela be'achila, aval mutal la'ashot hitim haltutim rak sheizayer le'tochna miyad." He says, as long as you take these wet grains and you grind them right away, no problem le'ashot, to leave them at your place. Okay. But if you didn't grind them right away, immediately, but the water stayed on them, if it's more than a meal, how much is a meal? 18 minutes, the 18 famous 18 minutes, we see it from here. Okay, you cannot leave them around because they're going to become hametz. But he says, he says, really, it's a doubt if it's hametz or not. As long as they didn't crack this wheat, bidi avad, after the fact, ve'avar alav pesach yesh lehatir. If you left it at home, hametz she'arav pesach, okay, it's okay. Behana'a, you could benefit from it. Kevan de hametz she'arav pesach ino asur elam derabbanam sifko yesh lehatir. It's safek. You have a safek. Say that. But this is today, as I told you, they temper the wheat. But when it comes to oats, apparently the oats, they steam them. They steam the oats. So if someone doesn't want to have Hametz Gamur in his house, okay, so this, the oats, by the way, are not Hametz, but oats that are steamed, one side, not one opinion, there were many opinions, steaming is a problem. Your minhag is not to sell Hametz Gamur. then you shouldn't have oats in your house on Pesach. Okay? You should get rid of them. If your minhag is not to sell Hametz Gamur, if you sell Hametz Gamur, no problem. If you don't, then you have this issue to deal with. So I'll see. I think the chat, if there's, I see the question. Oh, okay. So which city is the Ass Rav Chaim HaLevi from? Okay. Anyone able to identify? Okay, so I'll tell you. Behind this Chaim HaLevi, I'll tell you where it is. Over Orach Be'ir Gardif. He was someone who was going through that city, but it doesn't say exactly who it is. I looked, I couldn't find more than that. But this is what I got. Okay. I don't know if,
Okay.
by the way, if you have any questions, please,
Robert,
please.
Robert, just unmute. Feel free to
Oh.
ask.
Yes, please. I just wanted to go back to the Tshuva, the two Tshuvot you wrote about the machine that worked with steam. Can you clarify if there we are talking about a grinding process or a matzah making process? And by the fact that you were talking about the fact that they would grind matzah and sell it and eat it afterwards, sorry, grind the wheat kernels, this whole Tshuva was surely only about the machine that ground the wheat rather than the machine that made the matzot. Is that correct, or
Correct.
have I misunderstood?
You are correct. So it started as a machine that was grinding, and eventually it became the machine matzot. Eventually it became. I
Right,
believe
but I mean,
that.
there are two separate processes. I mean, first they
Correct.
make the flour,
Correct. Correct. Correct.
and then they mix the flour with water. Now, are you saying when it there was steam? Are we saying that the steam operated the machine? Grinding process. I didn't kind of understand what,
So
practically speaking, what we're talking about the steam.
the machine was powered by steam. The
But the
machine
steam
was
wasn't being introduced into the, no.
So the machine was powered by steam, and therefore the ones who wanted to forbid it said that steam goes into the grain, into the kernels before they're being ground,
We have a
and
problem, right?
that's a problem of Hametz.
Of course, today they're not powered by steam anymore. So
No,
the steam problem is long gone.
long gone, long gone. The only thing
Okay.
today, as I said at the end of what I was talking about, oats are apparently steamed today. And if someone has the minhag of not selling Hametz
No,
Gamur,
I get that. So it, as part of the rolling process, they introduce steam for the oats, I think is what you're saying,
correct,
right?
correct. Yeah,
Thank you.
you're welcome.
Apart from oats, were there any Sephardi poskim that had an issue with the more modern machines?
The modern machines that we have today.
Yeah.
So listen, the I believe Rav Ovadia has a few tshuvot on that where he says that he's posek that you should have at least for the at least for this the seder, you should have a hand. And why? Because I mean, it's a famous question about what one of the issues is. It's the same thing that you have for tzitzit. Okay, is it better to buy tzitzit mechona or avodat yad? The kavana, is it really a kavana or not a kavana when someone is functioning the machine? So that's but other than that, listen, I don't think today there's no not the hachamim of today. I don't think spending too much time on this tshuvot about machine or not machine. It's less controversial than it was at that time. Let's put it that way. Any other questions?
Are you aware of any matzah baking in your area?
There is actually, yeah, absolutely, sure, for sure. There is. I don't know if they did it already, but definitely in my area, not far from me. They did it last year. They're doing it, or they did it, or they're doing it this year, in Fairlawn. One of the Sephardic rabbis around actually is doing it. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
Absolutely.
you can connect after and
Oh.
you can let me know if they're still doing it. It's probably too late, but
I will absolutely, absolutely. I will definitely let you know if there's anything else.
know
Any other
in London the Chabura did the matzah baking last year. I don't know if they did it this year, but
Oh wow. And what type of matzah they do? They do the soft or the hard?
they did the soft one. Yeah. But yeah.
By the way, that I was learning with some of my students yesterday something interesting. It says that Hillel Aya Korchav, right? Hillel, what he used to do, he used to. So I there's a proof there that if he used to wrap the korban, whatever they had, everything that they had at that time, it
Must
means
have been
that
soft.
has to be soft. You're not going to take the hard matzah and good luck try to wrapping it around something. It's going to have small little pieces with you. But yeah, absolutely, absolutely. It's there's a proof that it was like a lafa. It was something like that. As well, by the way, and just as an aside, another interesting question is what is a kazait? What is a kazait? I could tell you that growing up, when my father, Alav Shalom, used to give us matzah, it was not the matzah today that you put people before they weigh it, and there's no each one got a piece of matzah and Shalom al Israel. So even the kazait, I mean, it's a big. I know, I don't think it is what we call today. They have whatever the kazait is an ounce, which is 28 grams. I doubt that it was. Besides the fact that Shulchan Aruch says clearly that the Baal HaBayit from his own matzah used to give all the people around the table. So what did he, would you think that the Shulchan Aruch had a matzah that was Og Melech HaBashan? Like which matzah did he have? A matzah that I don't know what. It was normal matzah, and he gave to everyone from his matzah. Which means that the matzah, the kazait, is not necessarily the kazait that we have today with all the chumrot and everything else. I saw even this year, I saw even more than that, one of the guys that I saw, they even had a page. I guess they want to serve. I don't know how much of a service it is, but they had a page and with all the companies. If you eat this company, this is how much you have to eat from this company. If you have this company, mamash, a whole page with a nice chart in the middle with, I don't think that it was done that way. And I always say that the Sfaradim had a natural type of Judaism. Come, sit around the table, yalla, matzah, take your matzah and eat it. I'm gonna start hakirot. How much was it? Did I eat? I didn't eat. Did I lean? I did not lean. How much did I lean? There, 45. We ate. We did our mitzvot, kadat v'kadin, and it was a natural type of this is the way I grew up, at least. Later on, I went to Ashkenazi institutions where, but as I'm getting old, I'm thinking about my parents, Shalom, about that generation. They didn't fulfill their mitzvot. They did fulfill their mitzvot, and they did it in a very. I'm just talking about myself, but I'm sure that many Sfaradim had the same experience growing up, whether with their parents or with their ancestors. And this is what it was, a natural type of Judaism. And Hadesh Yamenu Kekenem, I pray that we'll be able to bring back this beautiful type of simple, natural type of Yahadut.
Definitely resonates, Rabbi. Totally understand. Thank you so much for sharing this. Also, the source sheet, hopefully we'll share it afterwards and have it there for people who want to revisit it and study it in their own time. Thank you
With pleasure.
for preparing and for taking the time to speak to us, Rabbi. It's always a pleasure having you. We look forward to the next time.
Kula
Pesach kasher v'sameach.
mitzvot. V'chen lemor, tzkur l'shem rabot, each and every one of you. Tzkur l'mitzvot. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.